This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Draymond was asked if this is rock bottom.
Why does this not maybe feel rock bottom?
Perhaps? Because we know the group that we have. We know it's a connected group. We know it's a group that's more than capable. We just got some things that we got to figure out, and we will be all right. Ain't nobody won a championship in December.
Mm. Fair. But he also, this is the same guy who talked about, I can't even get up for Charlotte in February. So, I mean, it's all prisoner of the moment commentary, but he's right. No one's ever won the championship in December. You can lose it in December. I'm not saying they have, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that New Orleans Pelicans will not win the championship, and it's December.
It's a good call.
So they've lost the title, and it's December.
I'm not going to fade the Dibbers on that pick.
Okay. I wouldn't. I'm hot.
Well, and I'll attempt to do something here that I know is not going to work. But if you can't win a championship in December, then maybe we start having this conversation in ways that don't include the idea of a championship. Like that sort of, and I know that I always, I know I get a reaction when we do this, but this whole like championship or bust mentality, it just doesn't wash for me, because you can't win it in December or January or February. And so I like the phrase that the Warriors keep using. Get better. Like, if we can do something that's going to make us better, we're going to do it. And maybe that leads to round one or round two or round three or whatever. But that's later. That comes later. And I don't know if that's necessarily the only measuring stick that we should use. Like, I want to see the Warriors just get a lot better. It's similar to the point I made about the Niners yesterday. Use these next three games to be 49ers. Like, start looking like the 49ers again. Play better. There's value in that. Even if it doesn't lead to a ring. And maybe Steph doesn't agree with that, but I like, whenever we talk about trade possibilities, and I hear that a lot. Does that make you a champion? Well, I don't know, but it makes you better. Yeah. So I would, to me, That's worth it.
But there's multiple ways to get better, and you can have the players that you have play better and you can get better that way, or you can trade the players that you have and try to bring somebody in and think that that's going to have you get better. I do think that the question was a little bit of a loaded one about rock bottom. If you're 14 and 12, that's not rock bottom.
No,
and I get it. I get what we do.
By 51.
Fine. And you've lost 9 of 11, or you've lost, 10 of 14, whatever you want to look at as the metric, but this is not, quote, rock bottom. And when you lose a game like that, you lose it, and hopefully you're able to get rest and come back against Minnesota and be better. I don't think that looking at this as rock bottom is the real issue. I look at what this team has been now for 2 and 3 weeks, and I see a team that is really flawed in a lot of different ways. And when you have a flawed team, a lot of times you can get rescued by your superstar, but I don't think that this superstar now at 36 and almost 37, I don't think that he's the rescue guy anymore. So I look at the overall team not as rock bottom, but to me, there's deep, disturbing trends about who this team actually is.
Yeah, I want to know what's wrong with the defense all of a sudden. Like these big...
What do you mean? They've only given up 143 and 144.
You know, this whole, like, they stink, they can't score, maybe they're not good, maybe they are, and then there's the youth, and then there's the old. I'm just like, what happened to your defense? You guys were playing really good defense the whole year. And these last two games, you've been turnstiles. What happened?
Yeah.
That's what I would have asked Draymond. You're the leader of the defense. What's going on out there? He'd be honest about that. He'd be honest.
Yeah. If I do think a lot of it is live ball turnovers leading to easy shots. And also the three-point percentage that they're allowing right now, they're not getting out to shooters. And
that's on them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that a lot of times, when the other team just got hot. Well, you're making them hot because you're not guarding them close enough. Dave in the city. Hi, Dave. You're on with Willard and Dibs.
Hey, fellas. I got two things to say. Starting with yesterday. That loss is absolutely on Stephen Curry. I mean, he came out with no aggression at all. He was just being so passive to his teammates. And then when they went on runs, the Grizz, I mean, he has to find a way to quell that and kind of, you know, maybe get to the line, you know, do something instead of just hoisting up threes. And my second thing is, I think with all the trade speculations, I don't know if the players want to keep getting up every day, knowing that they might be on the block or getting out of there soon. So that might be a factor in terms of the second unit. And if you are going to make a trade, I mean, go get Brandon Ingram. You need somebody that could put up points, run with the horses. I mean, you go get him.
Yeah, Dave, I'm not going to disagree with your point. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
I can't tell you how many different doors I've knocked on, and they say the same thing every time. The Warriors have no interest whatsoever in Brandon Ingram. Where, like, every time someone brings him up, I'm like, I can sort of see where you're coming from, but for a bevy of reasons, they don't see it that way.
No, I don't think that he is the guy, and, you know, Steve Kerr had a chance to coach him, and then he didn't coach him because Ingram didn't really want to play, and so I think that there's a bad taste in the mouth from that standpoint, and I do think that if you're going to add a player to this team and you're going to keep Steph and Draymond, it's got to be a certain player. And that's why I was so excited about Dennis Schroeder, because he does have a little bit of that snarling dog, that toughness, that edge that you need. And that's why the Jimmy Butler thing is interesting to me, because Jimmy is cut from that same cloth, where Jimmy Butler in the right spot would compete, I think, for everything that he would possibly want to win.
Don't lose your Schroeder fire. One game.
I lost it.
Don't lose it.
No, and I do like, yeah, this is I one like
game.
The addition.
It was one game, and it was a stupid game. That was a stupid game.
And I just watching him play, and I know it's going to take time for him to get comfortable, but some of the things he was doing are not things that we do here. For example, there was one time where he gets a defensive rebound, and he's looking to push, and he immediately pitches it ahead to Kevon Looney on the wing. It's like, we don't do that here. We don't throw the ball.
Well, that's going to take a minute.
That's what I'm saying. So he pitches it ahead to Kevon, and Kevon catches it at about 17 feet and immediately throws it back to Schroeder. It's like, dude, we don't do that. We don't throw it to me on the break. Haven't you watched us?
I went to the Lovely Christie's for dinner last night.
Nice.
She texted me. Right, thank you.
During dinner?
She made lasagna.
Weird.
No, like I hadn't gone over there yet, and I was on the way, and she was on her way home, and she wanted to let me know she was home so that it was like, okay, you can come over, I'm home. And then I get another text right away as I'm on my way over there, and it says, Warrior game sucks. Switching to football.
Nice.
Want to know what time that came at?
Well, the game tipped at 5. That must have been about 5:17.
Well, a 5 o'clock tip is actually like a 5:12 tip.
Fair enough.
5:32.
Oh, there you go.
So don't lose your Schroeder fire. That game sucked, and it was over immediately. Immediately.
Yeah.
So I don't think we got any data last night. I really don't.
We got some data.
I mean, you could, like, not about individuals. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
And like he blamed it on Steph. Sure, Steph was terrible. You can do that. I don't think you ever lose by 51 because of one guy.
No, but I look at, you know, if you want to talk about data, I look at a team that was coming off of they didn't play. They played Sunday the 15th, and before that they played Wednesday the 11th. So you're talking about one game in 9 days, and that's what you come out with against a Memphis team
that should
be a rival, and they are a rival, and Memphis comes out of the locker room, and they want a piece of you, and you were down 13-2 and you showed almost no pushback and it got only worse from there. Yep. That to me is the bigger troubling sign where you had a rest, you have a new player, you've got just a 2-game road trip and you're trying to snap out of a funk and that's what you come with?
I'm with you. I'm with you. It was very surprising. We did Warriors Live and I sat here and I'm like, this is going to be an interesting one. You got Schroeder and you're rested. Let's see it. I mean, they couldn't even hang in there until we got home.
Right.
I was still in traffic and that sucker was cooked.
Yeah, I got off BART and I got in the car and I was listening to Tim Roy and 13-2. And it's like, wait, what? And the Warriors are going to take the timeout. They're going to take the break.
It's an obliteration sensation.
That was a buck.
T in the South Cha-ching! Bay. Hi, T.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Dibs, I got something for you. I love you, but my third point is directly related to your Stephen Curry
comment.
Let's go, T. What are your first 2 points?
Get in the lead.
My first two points. Yeah. All right. First step is I think we need to define what we have. And what we have is a group that went out and tried to get Markkanen and Paul George, didn't get them. So they stacked the middle of our kind of talent pool. So we're very middle heavy, and what they're doing on a nightly basis is subbing five in, five out, and trying to beat teams with superstars with like an energized Kyle Anderson. And he's good. And some of those other guys are good, but this league, what's most apparent to me is that you need superstars to win in the postseason. I can see this team kind of getting us there, but in the postseason, we'd fall flat because again, this is a star driven league. Secondly, the thing I'm most leery of when I'm looking at talent is guys that play well on losing teams. I'm actually more judgmental of them than I are of guys who don't play well on losing teams because those guys at least haven't shown their hand. And when I look at a guy that averages 18 points for Brooklyn and they can't win, his good just isn't good enough. That sounds negative, but I think my definition of Schroeder is he's the backup point guard. He can mix in and out of the starting lineup a little bit, but we just can't have a 6-1 guy in our backcourt. And the third thing I want to say is if anyone thinks Steph Curry is out of the top 20 with how electric he is and how he impacts the game, I don't see that. I think that what's polarizing now is that there isn't a second or third option. All great teams have three great players and we have one. So once he gets back to a more of a balance on that front, I think you'll see Steph, who has, I will say, lost some lateral movement, but he's still able to kind of carry the torch, in my opinion.
Yeah,
thank you both. I appreciate it.
I'm just saying, put aside legacy, T, and just look at this season, this singular year, and how he has played. And I know he's going to be an all-star because that's what we do. You get legacy all-star nods, and the game is here.
Especially when you're
hosting
at
his play and his performance so far through 26 games, he's not playing at an all-star level, and I stand behind the fact that I don't think that he's a top 20 player in the league this year. Look at how he's played. He's played great at times, but his overall play, he's taken a step back, and it's okay to say that.
I'd love to. We don't have time for the exercise because it's a long one. I'd love to hear your 20 players who are better, but here's like, I don't see it, but that's fine.
About seven of them on Memphis last night.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Cherry pick. But
yeah, Santi Aldama.
No answer.
I think
Alperen Şengün.
This is about how we view Steph and stardom to me. Like again, the romanticism of the NBA star. I think Steph is fine. It's just a matter of what you're asking him to do. I don't care if he's top 20 or 21 or 18 or whatever. He can still absolutely play if the entire defense is not solely focused on stopping him. That would be hard for any star. Any star. Do you think if the Denver Nuggets, literally, if they had no Jamal Murray and they had no Aaron Gordon and they had, like, there was nobody, and there's no Porter Jr., and five guys could just be like, okay, I got the right shoulder. You've got the left shoulder. I'll take the left ankle. You get his forehead, and I'll get the right ankle. He's not doing anything.
He'd still hit you for 25.
Maybe, and Steph does too. Steph is averaging almost 20, like what, 22 a night?
Yeah.
Like my point is he just, whether you want to call him a 1, a 1A, is he a 2A,
Well, he's their one, but they have no two.
That's the point.
Well, and T's point was all these good teams have three good players.
They need more good players.
Well, the Warriors would need two.
Great.
Good players.
Great.
You can't get two players.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do know that.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. You're
How
not
do
gonna,
you know?
So you're going to go out there and trade for two elite players just because you want
they
to?
They don't need to be elite.
They do need
they
to be
need
elite.
They need to be good. They need to be good. They need to be
effective.
They
need to be better than good.
Yeah, they need to be effective on both ends of the floor. I am still a believer in team basketball. I like you see some champions do it by team basketball. I know in our minds we want every championship to be like Jordan, Dog, Nike, trophy. It's not always like that, man. You can be a group. Hell, we used to call this group strength in numbers.
Right.
And even when Steph was the one, there have been other ones. Or
well, you had Hall of Famers alongside of them, and now you don't.
Yes.
You've got Draymond Green and a bunch of bit players.
But
and if you
also,
look at all the other good teams in the association, they all have two and three really good players.
But they won a championship 2.5 years ago without anybody else playing at a Hall of
but
Fame level.
That is ancient history.
I understand it is, but I'm talking about the way a team is built. That was a team that had a lot of good players.
Including Jordan Poole.
None great.
And Klay Thompson.
And none great. Klay was not great anymore. And Andrew moonlit as like... He was very, very good.
He was great. He was an all-star that year.
Correct.
And he was great
but
down
was
the stretch.
Not, he was not Hall
and
of
Jordan
Fame
Poole
great.
Was great during the regular year. He averaged 20 a game.
And mid in the playoffs. But anyway, yes, that's the point.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of good players they could turn
and
to.
And now they don't.
Right.
So and I don't think that you're able to go out there and just turnkey and get two other really good players to help this team.
But you go get one more or one and a half more, and then you watch how some of the ones you do have get unlocked. Again, potentially. I don't know if it's going to work. I'm just of the mindset of try.
Well, I'm of the mindset that it won't work, and I'm not buying it. And I look at what this team... You've got Draymond Green going out and not scoring, assisting, or rebounding over the course of a game. And I understand it's a small sample size, but that to me is an alarming performance where...
Terrible night.
Commit four fouls and you do nothing, and Steph doesn't even get a singular basket.
Bizarro night.
Yes.
Bizarro.
But it's been more than just one bizarro night. Back-to-back games, you've given up 140 points.
Correct, but that's the only thread. Like, the Warriors against the Mavericks did not look like
the
that.
The thread has been losing. That's been the threat.
Understood.
So, if you want to look at how they're losing,
but
they're losing
night,
games in unique and fun new ways.
Not like last night. Again, that has not happened, quite frankly, ever in their careers. So, I'm just not, and I know... But that's the way we all do things now. We can watch, like, this is what's happened to Brock Purdy and his conversation. We could watch him for 3 years, win playoff games every year, go to multiple NFC title games, win a Super Bowl. Then he has two bad games. We're like, I don't know. I think we should trade him. Like, we get so focused on what happened last night.
It's not last night.
Last night,
you look at the thread. You go back to November 23rd.
But they don't lose in other games by 50.
It doesn't matter. They're losing games.
Understood.
They lose to San Antonio, and you lose to Brooklyn, and you lose all these games.
Which is the point. They've got work to do. They've got trades to make or better play to get. But I'm not going to use last night as descriptive of who they are all of a sudden.
It is indicative of who they are. And it's indicative of...
It's happened one time.
Well, it's happened actually twice this calendar year where you've lost by 50 or more. The Boston game was last March.
It was
a
different season and a different roster.
But you're looking at a team that is losing games with more rapidity, more rapidly, and you're talking about a team coming off almost a week off, and you go out there and you give that effort. I'm not just going to dismiss it as a one-off.
I'm not going to you should.
It's one game.
You can be totally angry about it. But I'm not angry.
I'm just saying this is more indicative.
It'd be awesome if you
were. This is more indicative of who they are as opposed to a plucky little start where you were able to cuff around Portland and Utah a bunch of times and a New Orleans team that isn't very good.
Yeah. Again, you're conveniently blowing off a list of six plus victories that they had in that stretch.
And I could show you six negative losses over the last stretch.
Losing
so we can all pick and pop how we want to do
losing
it.
Losing is fine. I'm not going to use last night as now this is descriptive of the Warriors. Describe the Warriors to me. Someone just landed from the moon. Usually Draymond and Steph don't register stats and they lose by 51. They're like literally the worst night of their careers.
Right. The descriptor is they're 14 and 12 and They're good at times, they're bad at times, and they're honestly, they're a mediocre team with an aging group of stars and a bunch of role players
around.
That's
fair. That's fair.
That's who they are.
So fix it.
You can't fix it.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
I don't think you can fix it. And you can try, and you can shovel the future into the trash because that's what so many people want to do.
That's an overstatement. That's an overstatement.
You can light the whole future on fire with kerosene if you want. I personally don't want to do that.
What future? What is this story that you've all built in your heads?
First round picks? Are those not potentially actually good players?
Sure. Although,
was Steph Curry a first round pick once upon a time?
A wonderful math brain like yours. It's fascinating the way you're fixated on first round picks, yet you haven't done the exercise to lay out what that mathematically is. I bet you it's a single-digit proposition in terms of being a great player.
As far as the percentage
of a first-round pick.
There's two different things. There's the lottery first round, and then there's the rest of the first round.
Which you will have no idea what you are until you get there.
Well, you're looking like a lottery team again. And last year you were, and you didn't have the pick because you had previously traded it to try to build up a roster, which is fine because that actually paid off.
Yeah, but not like, I mean, you're talking lottery in the teens. Which is different than lottery in the top five.
It depends on who you get. Steph Curry was a sixth pick, I believe.
I think, was he six? Seven?
Overall?
I think seven.
Yeah. Seven. I think he was seven.
Yeah.